And it is 6:30 p.m. on June 11th, 2020. I'm going to call the regular meeting of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees to order. I am going to start by asking Vice Chair Fletchman to start us off with an opening prayer.
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us in this meeting in these trying times, Lord, that everyone's voices is just as important as another. All voices, all opinions matter. As be with us as we try to guide and navigate through these tough times and decisions that we have to make. For Lord, we ask that you be with this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Trustee Horn, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
and justice for all. Thank you. We'll start with the roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
All right, we have a quorum. Meeting is good to go. I'd like to start with a motion to approve the following meeting minutes. Special meeting, May 26, 2020. Regular meeting, May 28, 2020. Special meeting, May 29, 2020. And special meeting, June 2nd, 2020. Can I ask for a second, please?
I will second that.
There is a motion and second. Is there any discussion or debate? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
All right.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Okay, those passed. We'll move on to old business. We'll start with the 2020 appropriation resolution 20-112. Fiscal Officer Reinhart, do you want to give us a overlay or overview of that at this time?
Yes, thank you. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves, whereas it is necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County, during the year ending December 31, 2020, and whereas these are supplemental appropriations to adjust the annual appropriations that are effective from January 1, 2020 through December 31, 2020. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Township Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Section 1, the sums presented in Exhibit A, hereto attached, B and the same, are hereby set aside and appropriated for the several purposes for which expenditures are to be made for and during the year ending December 31, 2020.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you. Yes, Mr. Fletcher, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask for a second on that, sir, but I think you were going to do that.
If you're moving for it, making a motion to accept it, I will second. I will just add that a conversation earlier today that we can make additional amendments and may need to make additional amendments to this throughout the year. As you get more information and stuff, so just want to flag that. But is there any other discussion on this?
Hearing none,
I'll ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So the resolution carries. We'll move to bills and payroll, which is resolution 20-113, and I will again hand it over to Fiscal Officer Reinhart.
Yes, thank you. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves bills in the amount of $48,058.72 and payroll ending on 6/9/2020 in the amount of $174,369.61 for a total of $222,428.33. from check number 63386 to 63497 and electronic payments 169-2020 through 181-2020.
Thank you. There's a resolution on the table. I will move to accept it. Is there a second?
I will second, Chairman.
There is a motion and a second. Is there any discussion or debate? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So new business. I'm up first and I have a few things. So the first item I want to talk about, I have had conversations with our Franklin County Public Health Commissioner, Joe Mazzola. And as individuals may know, that on May 12th, Franklin County Public Health was the first the public health department in Ohio and possibly in the country to declare racism as a public health crisis. And, you know, this is something that is really important. And I think it's important to note that by what this does is this is acknowledging a problem that has been a problem in our country for 400 years. It is not a problem that any of us created, but it is something that has been a problem here. And our township is changing. We have a significant number of people of color that are becoming wonderful members of our community here. And Franklin County Public Health recognized and acknowledged that. And it is something that municipalities across Franklin County are doing. The city of Whitehall is debating this as we speak to pass a similar resolution. When I was talking to Commissioner Mazzola, it became clear that this should be something that we should do as well. This is not solving the problem of racism in our country, but it is acknowledging the problem in our country. This is, in order to heal the wound and solve the problem, we first must acknowledge those problems. And this is that first step. And I don't have all of the answers on how to solve everything, but I do think it is important for us to acknowledge and recognize this. After Franklin County Public Health did this, our Franklin County Commissioner unanimously joined them and passed the resolution as well. County Commissioner Kevin Boyce has been a very vocal supporter and proponent of this. In my conversation with the commissioner, that this is something that we at Franklin Township should join them and all the other municipalities, townships, villages, and cities in Franklin County in making this declaration. I'm going to open this up for debate, but I'd like to read the resolution. And so this would be racism is a public health crisis resolution. And it says, whereas on May 12, 2020, Franklin County Public Health passed a resolution stating that racism is a public health crisis. And whereas on May 19, 2020, the Franklin County Board of Commissioners passed a resolution number 0341-20 declaring racism as a public health crisis. And be it resolved that the Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio Board of Trustees fully support these resolutions and acknowledge, along with the Franklin County Board of Commissioners and Franklin County Public Health, that racism is a public health crisis. So I would like to make a motion for this resolution, and I would like to ask for a second in any debate or discussion that there may be. Could I ask for a second for this resolution? Is there any discussion? Trustee Fletchman, Trustee Horn?
Are you there? I'm here. I'm just
at loss of, you know, where we go with this and et cetera. So I'm going, if there is a second, I'm going to abstain just because I'm a little confused about this and where we're going with this. I do agree with you and with the county commissioners that we definitely need to recognize and in doing so, but putting a resolution behind it, I don't know if what that's necessarily going to do, but I do know what, if we lead by examples, that's definitely something that people can look to. So giving it a resolution number, in my opinion, just to say that we did it and we put a resolution together, a number, you know, I'm just confused about this and I wasn't 100% sure what this was going to be. So I guess that you would turn to Mr. Horn next for a second.
I don't have enough information to second anything right now on in that regard.
All right. Well, then this failed to advance for lack of a second. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll move on to the next item. So additionally, with Franklin County Public Health, we have been working to pass a tobacco-free park resolution. As folks know, we do have a township park over in the Havenwood area, and that smoking and other forms of tobacco cause a great risk to health, particularly in children and those that are developing their lungs. This could go in the fact of vaping and other products. So working with Franklin County Public Health, we've crafted a resolution to effectively ban all forms of tobacco in our park area. They will be, if passed, they would be able to provide signs and work with us on creating some messaging to let folks know. This would join the Columbus and Franklin County Metro Park, the Grove City Park, the Columbus Rec and Parks Department, Dublin Parks, and a Whitehall Park, and a host of other parks in the area in making this the policy. So with that, I would like to make a resolution that states, be it resolved at the Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio Board of Trustees, that all township parks are smoke-free zones. No person shall smoke or use tobacco in any form of smokeless tobacco, cigarette, pipes, cigars, including electronic cigarette cartridges and related products in any township park.
Mr. Chairman,
I ask for a second on this?
Can is it quick discussion?
Yes.
I definitely am for this. I just wanted to say something that one thing that I look at that was not mentioned in your brief is the animals. And as an animal lover and supporter and
yes,
things of that nature, some of the damage that does to the wildlife when birds swallow cigarette butts, it does damage to the inside. It puffs them up because it swells, and it's very it's very painful on animals to suffer like that. The other thing, too, is with the pollution that we see with this and et cetera. So with that being said, sir, I would greatly like to give a second on this.
All right. There is a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen, and I know Commissioner Mazzola will be very happy that we did that. Next thing, so this is Senate Bill 310. This is the CARES Act funding that's coming from the federal government. It went into the House, and the House passed it last week. The Senate has yet to adopt the language. It is now in House Bill 481. And they're expected to vote on this in the next day or so before it goes to the governor. So I had put this on the agenda in anticipation of us being able to pass a resolution to accept that funding, which we'll have to do. But since they haven't passed that law yet, we'll have to wait until the next meeting. So we can table that. And then the last item I just wanted to mention, I know that the county offices are opening up with limited availability, and what I wanted to do is just flag for Mark and get some recommendations on what it would look like for us to follow some of the similar procedures, as well as returning our annual or our weekly or biweekly department head reports to our agenda. That's something that we had originally suspended when we really wanted to narrow down and focus on the coronavirus, but I think it's as things, some activity begins to return, I think that those reports would be helpful, but I'll kick it over to Administrator Potts to offer some recommendations and discussion on
that.
Yes, Chairman Alex, I've had a discussion with Ricarla, our administrative assistant, in regards to this and letting her know that we'd be going forward starting next week, reopening the front window. So that is in effect. We'll be starting on Monday. So we'll be reopening that. We will have masks available for individuals should they need to use them out front. You know, as you know, our front window, we do have a plexiglass window up that does offer a fairly good amount of social distancing, I would say, in doing so. So that is the plan for going forward next week. And Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, if I could bring up something I had on the agenda later that's kind of germane to this.
Sure, go ahead.
I had on the agenda the repeal of Resolution 20-069, which was a suspension of the $4 police and accident report fee cost. So that was being done because we were not taking individuals coming into the front window. So I have distributed that resolution to the members, and if you would like to read that, or I could read it, and it kind of goes along with this.
I can read it. So, be it resolved that the Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio Board of Trustees, that Resolution 20-069, which was the suspension of the $4 fee for police and accident reports during the COVID-19 crisis, is hereby rescinded. Can I ask for a second, please?
Real quickly, if I may, so we're suspending this, going back to business as usual since the window's being open, and I would second that.
Yep, okay, there's a motion and a second on the resolution. Is there any further debate or discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari? Ari? John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes. Okay, resolution is now rescinded. That's what I had on my report. Mark, I know you have other things later on, but we'll wait to your report. Vice Chair Fleshman, you're up.
Okay, I really don't have anything for today. I have been continuing to do the county commissioners' meetings on, like, Zoom, like we're doing now. We have lost two more parcels. Mark, you may know the addresses. I don't have in front of me, off of just north of Frank Road and south of Briggs, I believe. And it was on, we lost two parcels into the city of Columbus. The other thing is, Mr. Chairman, are we looking at a time and date? I know there's people on here, and I just want to clarify. Are we going to start having our meetings again where people can attend, and what is that going to look like?
So until the social distancing requirements are lifted, I don't think we have an adequate space to do that. And so I think that we'll have to continue doing these remotely. I know in some municipalities they're able to set up a good couple dozen chairs that are set 6 feet apart, but we don't have that ability in our township hall at the moment. So until that requirement is lifted by the Center for Disease Control and the federal government, I think we're going to have to remain doing these remote for the time being.
So I just wanted to recap on that just so that the people listening know that we are still going to do the Zoom meetings for now. That's all that I currently have for the board, and I thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Horn.
Nothing really new. One thing that I have noticed lately is, I don't know what's prompted this, but I've noticed that there's a lot, well, I don't say a lot, but a good many weekly trash pickups that aren't being made now. I know I turned in three new ones this week, and I've noticed some others which I haven't gotten reported yet. Everybody seemed to be pretty much in tune with a weekly pickup, but it seems like, I don't know if we've had new residents moving in or what. Some I know is not new, but there does seem to be an increase with lack of pickup service right now, so I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention. I notified Jim Stevens and Paul Everts about a couple of ones that I turned into them this morning, so just wanted to make you aware of that. Other than that, I don't have anything new. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just note that the SWACO, the Solid Waste a Consortium that we are in, has gone out for bid, and us and a host of other municipalities are waiting to review the final bid. Mark is on that committee as our representative, and I've been briefed on that from SWACO. So I think we will likely have a vendor contract to review here probably in the next few weeks, according to the email that I've got. Is that correct, Mark?
Correct. There was an addendum that was published in the newspaper last week that was put out by SWACO's attorneys. So that should be coming up fairly soon. They put out an invitation to bid for the collection of solid waste. And the consortium we're in includes the village of Bryce, Clinton Township, Franklin Township, Madison Township, Pleasant, Sharon, and Truro Townships. So they're still out to bid, and the addendum to their notice for invitation to bid was put back out actually today, June 11th, is when it was posted. So probably within the next few weeks, we'll get an idea on who is bidding on that contract.
Great, thank you. All right, we'll move over to the fiscal department with Fiscal Officer Reinhardt with the support.
Thank you. I have resolution 20-114. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board hereby agrees to pay Goodyear Auto Service Center for new tires for M192 and the repair of a flat tire on E193 at a cost not to exceed $1,314.86.
All right. I will so move. Is there a second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
I would also like to bring to your attention that we need to have resolution numbers for the smoke-free park resolution, which would be 2020-115, and the rescind suspension of the $4 police and accident report would be, which is rescinding 20-069, would be resolution 20-116. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Administrator Potts, you have the floor.
Okay. What I had on the agenda was that repeal the resolution 20069, but I'm going to give my time over right now to the police department. Chief Smith?
Can I interrupt you just a minute, Ms. Fox?
Yes, sir.
Did you say in the openings or when to back up for Monday? Do we need a resolution or anything on that? Or the one thing I'd like to add to that, I'd still like to follow the governor's guidelines for the 6-foot distance. In other words, I don't want the lady to go directly up to the window in people's faces and that kind of thing.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Horn, I can speak with our assistant in regards to that.
Okay.
We will, like I said, we will have a box with disposable masks out there to be used for individuals. There will be the partition between the plexiglass, will be between them, and she and I will discuss how she can properly social distance.
The only concern that I have is that I do want to keep the distance. And just for everyone's information, I don't know if you've heard the news, but most of the states that have really opened up big time, and especially the states that have had all the people on the street, the protests, and this, that, and the other, there are major spikes in the virus cases. Ohio hadn't had a major spike, but, you know, it's out there, and trust me, according to my doctor, I went for a medical checkup the other day, and he said, trust me, he said, it's not going away, and, you know, it'll be around, so just continue to follow your safety precautions, and basically, with her or anyone else, you know, having several people per day in their face, I'm very skeptical about that at this time. You know, yes, you know, I want to be able to serve everybody. We haven't had any major problems that I'm aware of. We've been able to service people. And, you know, I don't want to take a chance just pressing their luck and opening up that window too soon, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I'd like to take that into consideration. If we can figure out a way to keep her at a distance.
Perfect. Then we will discuss that. And if it has to go back to having the window closed, we can bring that back up to the board.
Okay.
We have problems doing this. So.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, sir. Chief Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Potts. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, just fine.
Good. I only have a couple things tonight, guys. First one I have is we have been looking into body cameras for the last 6-8 months. It's a recommendation from the prosecutor's office. I believe the governor is looking into making it either a written, it's already a recommended practice, but at some point it'll be mandatory. And due to the fact that we now have a public health crisis, being racism, the police are always targets. We need to do whatever we can to make sure we get the actual facts. So, with that said, we've been talking to a company by the name of WatchGuard, who is the company that Columbus, as well as the county and several other departments in the state of Ohio use, on getting body cameras. And there's a couple ways we can do it. We can issue one camera to each officer, which is a little more pricey, but we're looking at a different program where we would purchase 6 cameras and they would simply be used by the individuals that are actually on duty. This is probably a $15,000 initial savings by going that route.
How much was that?
Well, it costs $20,000, a little more than $20,000 $4,000 to get started. And after that, the yearly fee would be a little over $4,000. And that basically is for the cloud storage and the maintenance of the devices. Now, with all that said, before I proceed, and this is for the board, we can't budget for this. So I have to request that this come out of the general fund if it's something the board wants us to entertain moving forward.
Well, it's a good question, really. I don't think it's any big secret how we're going to be squeezed, the balance of this year at all. $20,000, Chief Smith, did you say that's for six cameras?
Yes, sir. That covers six cameras in the initial startup. After that, it would only cost us a little over about $4,100 a year.
A year.
Going forward.
The $20,000 would be for the purchase and the service for the balance of this year. Is that correct?
It would most likely be actually 12 months. It won't be based on a calendar year.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
This is Ari. I strongly support us moving forward with this and think that this is a needed and welcome addition to our police force.
Yeah. I'm not asking for any resolutions because I don't have the exact quote, but before I proceeded, I wanted to make sure I had the support of the board since this isn't something I was able to budget for this year.
Well, I think we all know it's coming. It's, I can see, going forward that you really have a choice, to be truthful with you. I just wish we could have got through it till maybe next year before it got pressed into it. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
But I'd be, I'd be anything that we can do to try to make a save. Chief Smith, I'm for it.
What I'll do then is next meeting I'll come back with more concrete information, timelines, that kind of stuff.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Chief Smith, sure. Sorry, I just want to thank you for being proactive on this. I think you and our officers do a really great community service for our township and have always been at the forefront of building very good and lasting relationships that protect and serve our folks. So I do want to just thank you for leading on this and being ahead of the curve, ahead of what is likely going to become the new normal for all police officers.
It is. Thank you.
Well, the nice thing about what we've done in the last year and a half, 2 years, Chief Smith, is what other departments are being asked to do now. So from my perspective, we're way ahead of the game. Most of our residents know our officers already. And I want to keep that going forward. Anything we can do to interact the way we have been doing and making, and keep fostering relationships with our residents. We absolutely need to do it. I know it's been difficult and we've had to call off a lot of meetings and things like that because of the virus, but as you and I have talked, we definitely need to keep that thing going all possible. So I appreciate it.
Thank you. With that said, guys, I got one more thing to kind of go over briefly. I got a phone call from retired Judge Vandekar. Had a pretty good conversation with him. He called me, unbeknownst to me, to offer his support. Apparently, he heard about when we talked about possibly working on some kind of a tiny house project to assist Jordan's Crossing. And he wanted to send a letter of support, which he did, and I have it. I'll forward that to Mark to send out to the board. The gist of it is that he basically says that, you know, he recognizes the problem and would love to extend his support to this to try to help and defeat this opioid crisis.
They don't ask you these things.
Any way he can. Now, with that said, I also got a call from Mary Jo Dickinson from Mount Carmel Hospital. She is in charge. She's the director of operations for their outreach program. She wanted to give me a letter of support also.
Great.
They do a lot with going into the camps, I guess, and trying to bring some kind of medical services or medical care into they think the tiny house thing would be definitely a positive advancement. Nobody really wants to go first with that, but somebody has to put their foot forward. So with that said, I was going to get with Mark, and I know we're before the COVID-19 thing, we're tossing around, you know, what we can do to support it. I know, Ari, you said you would be possibly in support of some kind of property. I thought me and Mark would try to get together maybe next week or something and look and see if we have any properties which the board would want to talk about. So that was basically just an update.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I know Judge Vandekar, he's been extremely, actually, since, you know, he stepped down from judge, and I'm not sure what all he's been doing, but I know he's been extremely proactive in the drug situation and that kind of thing, and I appreciate him for that. Actually, I've got him on Facebook and keep up with his activities. I haven't really got involved with him or done anything yet, but I think he's definitely a good guy to have on your side in that respect. And, you know, my perspective on, you know, trying to keep in touch with some of these guys, if you know them or are around them, you know, and I know some areas are a little bit, you know, against trying to, you know, socialize or get to know these people. Well, my feeling is the more you get to know them, the less likely they are to do bad things in your neighborhood. And, you know, and from that standpoint, and that's what I really tell some of the residents that are saying, hey, I don't want them around here, this, that, and the other. And I'm sure no one does. They feel like they're a threat. But I don't think all people in some of those situations are bad people. I think they're disadvantaged and to the point that they really do need help. And I don't know of any less expensive way to help them than, you know, to give them a sandwich for lunch or, you know, get to know them a little bit and everything. And, you know, my feeling has always been, if you know who you're dealing with, you can deal with them better. And with a good situation of less problems in a neighborhood as well.
Right.
So whatever we could do. Yeah, well, let's discuss that a little bit, Byron, and we'll see what we can come up with, okay?
Sounds good.
The only thing I'd like to say, I know I've worked with Fred Reeser.
He's not going to do his statistics.
And his Jordan's Crossing for some time. Prior to even being a trustee, I have volunteered and went over. And I'd like to say thanks to Chief Smith for a lot of time that he donates and makes appearances. And as Trustee Horn said, it makes a big difference because if you show respect to someone, as such that may be homeless, and they respect you back, and they want to be part of the community. So part of the change of it is to understand. And what Jordan's Crossing has really done is bridged that gap of social ignorance on both sides of why are they that way, how do we get them to our side, things that, how do we get them out of the street, how do we curve the opiate curve, if you want to call it, in our area, because we have one of the areas that is one of the highest areas of drug use. And what I've seen that Jordan's Crossing has done, and the rehabilitation, and the people that come back and volunteer to help others, it's like a rung on a ladder. You just continue to climb. So they've had great success over there, and it definitely makes a difference in our community. Where they're located is a prime area. It's easy for bus to get there, and I think that they've done a lot of good things. They've self-funded and took a lot of that on. They have taken donations in, but to take a vision that Fred had and to take it where he's taken it, it's amazing the hurdles that he's been able to get over.
Yeah, well, one other thing, and doing some little research too, is some of the areas when, you know, you'd been going down there to Central Point and didn't know that lunch thing and everything, and you know, I've had a little feedback adversely from that. But like I pointed out to some of the residents down that way, it's not all our people, our homeless and so forth that are coming there. You know, Columbus does have the homeless shelter down there just east of Cooper Stadium, which, you know, I've been there before, you know, the open shelter. And, of course, daytime, they turn them loose. They put them out the door. They give them a place to sleep, turn them out the door. And the nearest place you're going to come to in walking distance is Central Point. So, you know, and some of the residents down that way that's all around, they were not aware of the homeless shelter being down. And, of course, that's in, you know, that's in Columbus boundaries down there. So, I don't know. It might be something that, you know, since Columbus has got their homeless shelter and everything down there, it may not hurt anything to have a conversation with them and say, hey, guys, can you chip in a little something to help some of these people out? But here's what we're trying to do. But I do know one thing. Since the time that we've put in the last couple of years there, Chief Smith, it's been rewarding, and I don't honestly overall see as many complaints as we used to see. Now, that's a fact. Right? So I think we've done something right. And, anyway, so I think there are several things we need to talk about, and maybe we can get a little additional support or something there, okay?
I think it's a great idea, sir.
Chief, if I may, Trustee Fleshman here. One of the things, Mr. Horn, it's not necessarily a shelter. People do not stay there. What Jordan Cross.
No, I realize that, John. Yeah.
Okay. Just for the people and the minutes and people that may be listening, what Jordan's Crossing has done is given a place to take showers, do laundry, get different courses to help find jobs, medicine, to be able to get see a doctor, things of that nature. And then lastly, Chief, I've come to a couple of different bus meetings that we have gone down there and took your point. And I thank you and the staff for doing that, because during the COVID-19 time, the free lunch we're not just saying people that are homeless. When I've been there, people driving by come around and go, can I get one? So somebody that may be out for anyone. I mean, they may be on lunch break and they go by and, hey, I can get a free lunch.
Absolutely.
So really what it's doing is helping our community in these hard times.
Well, it is.
We're trying.
It is. Yeah, I had to tell Mr. Snodgrass, you know, I wish him well, and I appreciate him stepping up and helping down there too, Chief.
Yeah, I appreciate that too. I'll pass it on to him though.
Okay.
Okay, we're done. Yay, Chief, if you're done, next up, Chief Welch has a few comments.
Excuse me, this is Mary. Are we going to have crime statistics? Are we going to have the crime statistics on the agenda?
No. I didn't get them from Lieutenant Rowland this time. We'll have them next.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Chief Welch?
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're fine, John.
Awesome. Well, I'll start off with my run statistics. For the month of May, we've had 262 fire runs and 330 EMS runs. Pretty average month, of course, on that behalf. Secondly, I'm going to let you guys know, speak out of the presentation. Very sad to hear this. Very sad that this is actually happening. He's been a huge asset to the fire department. Back 4 years ago, we kind of blew his point. He's the one that should get it back for you.
It's a little hard to hear you, sir. They need to make sure they hear what, you know, what you're saying about us losing our assistant chief.
Yeah, it's, like I said, you know, he's gotten us over $2 million of actual grants and stuff throughout the years. And he's ensured a lot of things took place. And he not only helped the fire department, he helped the township as a whole. And I hate to see it go, but absolutely,
there's a bunch of feedback on the line when you're talking. I don't know if when folks aren't talking, they can mute themselves, or if you're on speakerphone, that taking that off may help too.
No, I'm on my computer, just talking directly to it.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd like to request a motion to accept Chief Adams' resignation effective on 6/19/20.
It is with great sadness to see him go that I will make the motion to accept that. I will also just add that his service to our township has been exemplary, and many, many residents and individuals in our community have been impacted by his kindness, his work, and all of his great efforts to help everyone that he's come in contact to, from getting supplies and Narcan to saving lives, to getting smoke detectors installed, to engaging in communities that many of us don't go into enough. He was a phenomenal person, and it is a true loss to our township to see him go. And I'm happy that he has found something that will advance his career, but I know that this is a huge loss to us and all of the people that have interacted with him and have relied on him. So at this time, I'll make that motion and ask for a second.
Sir, if we don't accept it, do we get to keep him? I very sadly will second that, and I would like to, Mr. Chairman, if I can for a moment, to make a comment or two. I was very pleased to be a trustee when we were rebuilding the fire department with Chief Welch, and it came to our attention that we were going to need an assistant to be able to do exactly what Chief was able to do. And if anyone asks, what is it that he does, all we have to do is just point. I mean, you can see where we were equipment-wise and what kind of equipment our men have now. The township owes him a dedication of gratitude for everything that he's went above and beyond. Yes, it was his job, but some of the things, like getting a safer grant, to be able to get 1.2 $2 million to the township that does not have to pay it back, and it was able to keep, I believe, what was it, Chief, seven guys or 11 guys?
Eight
guys?
Yes.
So that the taxpayers did not have to pick up the burden of that salary for that time period. And to think that out of all 50 states and every county in the United States, that is only given out to one division, and to think that he wrote that himself and turned it in and actually won that's amazing in itself, and I wish him nothing but the best. Hopefully we're going to have a lunch or something. Chief, if you could let us know, because I don't want to just see him right off the sunset without us having an opportunity to have a cake or something for him.
Absolutely. I'll keep you all informed, but tentatively, I believe we're going to have cake tonight.
Well, you know, with us being able to do the things that we've done, from old broken down equipment to equipment now that we spend less money on, in the method that we lease them and they come with a bumper-to-bumper guarantee, it was phenomenal in all the things that we were able to tweak to save the taxpayers' dollars but yet have the number one top service.
Absolutely.
All right, there is a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question and ask for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes. I hate to see it happen, but yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
All right, the resolution. Motion carries. Chief, what else do you have for us?
Well, with his resignation, I have we're in a particular situation financially. I don't want to move forward with hiring for his position, but I have reached out to the officers, the guys on a day-to-day basis, and one in particular has stepped up and said he will take on the responsibilities on an on-company basis as the EMS coordinator. As you know, in our rules and regulations, the EMS coordinator training officer is pretty important and lengthy, and they're the ones that ensure that all the guys are getting exactly what they need. With that being said, Lieutenant Wormold is the one that is stepping up, and I'd like to be able to compensate him a little bit. I would like to pay him out of class pay for the first 8 hours of each shift, of his shift, because he will be putting a lot of effort in. That comes to a minimal cost, and also he will have to go to meetings that's not on his day as well, so there will be some overtime here and there. But the savings of moving that position to on company, obviously is a tremendous amount. So I'd like to create a position on company and be able to compensate this person at out of class pay for 8 hours or shift and occasional overtime when needed.
And Chief, this is a bargaining unit position, is that correct?
Yes, it is. I put it out to everybody and only one person showed an interest.
Okay. So do you need a resolution for us to create that classification?
I'll tell you what, as long as you guys are backing me right now, I would like to get an MOU in place and then make a resolution later on once we all accept the MOU.
I mean, that's good for me. I think you can come back to us unless there's any objections from anyone else on the board.
No, that's fine for me.
That's all I have from the fire department.
Okay. Administrator Fox, anything else on the agenda?
Nothing else on the agenda.
Good question. Do you have any questions that have come in or have been submitted to you?
There's one question on the Zoom group chat. It is Adams going somewhere else?
Yes, Chief. What else do you want to say where Chief Adams is going to?
Yeah, he's moving, or he accepted a position as assistant chief at Madison Township, which is in the southeast corner of the county. They cover Obetz and a couple other towns down there.
Any other questions, Minister Fox?
No more in the Zoom chat. none were emailed to me. And let me check one more place. None came over on the Facebook page that I see, so.
Okay, well, that concludes our agenda item. Anything else for the good of the order from the trustees?
Chairman?
Yes.
Chairman, this is Mary Reinhart, fiscal officer. We did begin discussions today with the directors, the department heads, and we spoke about limiting any kind of expenditures or replacing positions for the short term as we're working on the budget. We are looking for potential shortfalls, so I would advise that when you're looking at these various options, which are all great ideas, I think we need to think about the practicality and possibly not be making any decisions in the next month. That's all.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there. I think we need, as soon as we possibly can, to really go over. I'm thinking I'd like to see if maybe within the next week to 2 weeks that we could go really kind of go over everything and really get down on it. We also need to do more discussion on the type of levy and so forth for the fire department. As most of you have heard, what I've said before hasn't changed. And a good many people talking about wanting to try to do the renewal, and I don't think there'd be a whole lot of adversity to that, and so that's kind of where I'm at. And so I think, Mary, that we really need to try to get that done within 2 weeks, that's for sure.
We have a deadline for our budget for 2020, a tax budget that's due on July 20th, which we expect to have on July 15th. We also will have hearings for that budget, so those will be held this month, and so we really will probably have that information in the next couple of weeks. But we're still not clear on what revenues we have, how they're going to be impacted, impacting our budget.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're going
I'm
to.
Absolutely great.
So we can't
we're
really say that it could. The difficulty.
Even if we have money on the books, doesn't mean we're going to collect it. Oh, that's for sure. And I'm really uneasy about that right now.
That's a very good point, Ralph. That's a good point.
Whatever we're planning on getting from the state, which I have no idea at this point what it is, the state, through last week, had already divvied out $2.4 billion. That's with a B. So they are definitely bleeding red right now. And so just wanted to throw that out again. I saw the stats on that a day or so ago. So that's just something to,
Mary, if I may, and Ralph, if I may, one of the good things about what we've been through when I first become a trustee and we've seen where the governor did away with some of our tax money that we were getting, and it went to the rainy day fund, which put us just in the fire department alone $1 million.
Yep.
One of the things that we operate on, which the state would not be able to keep, the property tax. Now,
right.
I don't, even if the state is in the red, they're not going to be able to keep our money that goes to us because it's coming from the property tax.
Well, there's another factor we have to take into account is that there may be arrearages. People will not be able to pay their taxes on time if they didn't have income. So that's one of the, and we're only giving, when we do these appropriations, we are estimating revenues. We don't know for sure what we'll have. So I think it's, we really have to be careful that we don't go into the red with items that are beyond our control.
And that's what I'm saying here. Even what's on the books from a property tax standpoint, John,
does not mean that we're going to collect that money immediately, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I've been on the record as saying that we should expect at least a 12% failure rate on that, because as what Mary just said is the fact that there are going to be people that are not able to pay.
Well, I'm my personal projection was 20%, and that's about what we suffered through the last time. So, you know, you take 20. The last time when Governor Kasich was still in office, and if we drop another 20% now. So, and don't think it. All other small governments aren't in the same position right now. They're trying to make their best guess as they can. And, I mean, I happen to know because I've talked to a few of them, you know. But anyway, that's the whole scenario there. So, you know, it's, as the old saying is, a crapshoot right now, what to do and what not to do. So that's about all I can say. And I concur with the, you know, with Mary Reinhart, 100%, we have to get as good a grip as we can here and try to figure this out. So, okay, that's all I have.
On that's the agenda. There's no further discussion. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening.